Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we hear what Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis listens to on his iPod these days. But first, China and the Olympic Games. All eyes will be on Beijing tomorrow as the Summer Olympic Games get underway with the traditional opening ceremony, but not just because of the competitions. In the run-up to the Games, critics have been highlighting everything from China's poor human rights record at home to its support for dictators abroad to its poor air quality and poor water. But that caused us to wonder how Chinese Americans are taking all this in. Is it a relief to bring attention to the conditions that caused some of them to leave? Or does the focus on China's problems feel like an affront to cultural pride? We've asked two thoughtful people to talk with us about this. Joining us now are Sasha Gong. She's a writer. She was a political dissident in China before she immigrated to the U.S. And we're also joined by writer, journalist, and activist Helen Zia. She ran in the Olympic torch relay in San Francisco earlier this year. I welcome you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sasha, if we could start with you. When you first heard the news that Beijing would host the 2008 Summer Olympics, do you remember what went through your mind?
Oh, yeah. That's in 2001, 7 years ago. I remember exactly what, this is a double-edged sword. China wants all the attention, yes, and that's a coming out of party for China. But on the other hand, you know, when all eyes are on you, better watch out.
Helen, let's bring you into the conversation. Do you remember what you thought and felt when you learned that Beijing would host these Olympics?
Well, I do remember thinking the kind of questions that Sasha brings up, like, okay, it's a double-edged sword, definitely. They could fall on their sword. But on the other hand, beyond the Olympics, it could be an opportunity for changes for the Chinese people.
Are you of the school that engagement can lead to change?
Oh, absolutely. I think engagement is essential, not just in terms of China, but for the world and for world peace. I'm an American-born Chinese. My parents were immigrants from China, and all of my growing up was during the Cold War period when my parents, for 30 years, they couldn't be in touch with any of their family or friends in China. And this is really the story of Chinese in America for so long. So now, in these past few decades, to see the opening up of China, the opening up of relations with the U.S., a greater understanding, travel between the two countries, which for also 30 years was completely closed off, has really led to more understanding. We still have a long way to go, but certainly a greater awareness of the commonality between people.
I wanted to ask, Sasha, you were you came to this country about 20 years ago, as I remember.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit about the conditions that led you to come here? As I understand it, you spent about a year in jail for publishing what was deemed, you know, criticism of the Mao regime.
Well, actually, just said something. I had no way to publish anything in that time. That was in the mid-1970s. Well, I was born in 1956, so, well, I grew up in the Mao era. So in that time, it was, well, freedom was unheard of. And you were not even allowed to have some bad thoughts. Well, if you express any bad thoughts, you are in trouble. The state, the government controlled everything. The government could mobilize all the resources and could do anything and could starve 40 million people to death and meanwhile have a nuclear bomb program. But the Olympics, it really brings back some bad memory. What we have been seeing in the past 30 years was the Chinese people did everything possible to get away from that system. We have a much freer economy, have much more personal freedom, and have, you know, a market economy, others. And the Olympics was an opportunity for the government to grab some resources back and to mobilize. You see that they kicked hundreds of factories out of Beijing. They kicked drivers out and they kicked people out. You know, that really brings back very bad memories.
You are among five Chinese Americans who just met with President Bush before he left to go to the Games. He's also stopping in Thailand. And just, I was wondering, what was your message to him? I know some people had mixed feelings about whether he should go or not. Some people felt that he shouldn't go.
I'm not against him going, but I think he better do something and accomplish something instead of sitting there with taxpayers' money and watch a game, right? So what I said, well, Olympics is a perfect opportunity for openness. And why don't you try to work with the Chinese and push some openness?
President Bush was scheduled to give a speech in Bangkok last night, and this is what he said.
The United States believes the people of China deserve the fundamental liberty that is the natural right of all human beings. So America stands in firm opposition to China's detention of political dissidents and human rights advocates and religious activists. We speak out for a free press, and freedom of assembly, and labor rights, not to antagonize China's leaders, but because trusting its people with greater freedom is the only way for China to develop its full potential.
Sasha, do you feel like that's a strong enough statement?
I would say I totally agree with the president at this point. And my point is that what kind of steps, concrete steps, are you going to take to push China to go to that direction? And, well, it's easy to make a statement, but what are you going to do?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Sasha Gong and Helen Zia about the upcoming Olympic Games in Beijing. Helen, as I mentioned, that you carried the Olympic torch in San Francisco. How did you come to be part of the torch relay? And did you have any hesitation about participating? It wasn't the easiest assignment, as I understand it. There was a lot of feelings about that.
Oh, it was definitely not the easiest decision to make. Ironically, I was in China when I was invited to carry the torch. I live in the San Francisco area, and I felt it was a great honor to be asked to carry the torch, even though I knew there would be many issues related regarding China. And once I got back to San Francisco, just before the torch run, Tibet had totally exploded, all of the protests and the crackdown by the government. And then I had to ask myself quite hard, did I want to continue to carry the torch? And I ultimately decided to carry the torch because of this whole issue of openness, not just openness of China, but also openness of the United States between China and the U.S. Because what I began to see from many of the protesters, everything was either black or white, right or wrong. China was all good or all bad. And there was no distinction in what I could see between the Chinese government or the Chinese people, or the fact that China has been undergoing a process that if we applied the same kind of scrutiny and microscopic, you know, examination of China's government to any government, including our own here in the U.S., we would find a lot to protest about.
Sasha, is this complicated at all for you? I mean, is there a part of you that bristles at the criticism? As Helen was saying, that there are policies at this country that people feel are not as respectful of human rights as they could be, and some people say, well, gee, you know, that's a pot calling the kettle black. Or how do you feel about it?
Well, actually, I think I would agree with Helen's decision. And because, you know, that's one way to express someone's opinion, and that protest is another way. And why can't we have more or different ways? However, that being said, I would say, well, Olympic is also a symbol of peace and of openness, of people uniting. And this is the opportunity for China, for the world, to push the Chinese government to be more open and to be more understanding, to be more tolerant, instead of crushing all the protests in China.
Helen, do you ever feel that some of the criticism has crossed the line in a way to that China's being held to a double standard? I mean, on the one hand, you are a human rights activist. I mean, you've been writing about issues of human rights and human dignity for your entire career.
Well, I do think we are going through a phase in, certainly in Western media coverage of China, where everything bad in the world is because of China, whether it's cosmic waste up in the space because of satellites or food shortages around the world, or human rights issues, that it's because of China. And I think this is coming out of a sort of all black and white view of China at this point. On the other hand, I do think that we have to show China that there is another way. So, for example, during the torch run, I was glad to see protesters there. And I was hoping that there might be a lesson in this for China to see that people of very, very different points of view can come together. People can protest the government. The protests can take place without throwing everybody in jail.
Do you ever feel like I can criticize my family, but you can't criticize my family, kind of thing? I mean, I guess I'm wondering if you feel some of the criticism has taken on kind of an anti-Chinese flavor, or do you think it is properly and narrowly directed toward government policy?
Well, I do think there's become kind of a blanket approach. Most Americans who are criticizing China probably don't know who is the president of China. They wouldn't know his name. So I can criticize the U.S. government and have been for the invasion of Iraq and the policies in Afghanistan and the human rights violations here in the U.S. and the treatment of people in New Orleans during Katrina. But that doesn't mean that I'm attacking all American people. But when it comes to China, I do think there is a blurring of that, that it's just China, China, China. And then there's no, actually, there are many protesters in China, people like Sasha, for example, who do not agree with their own government. And so how do we create space for those people and support them?
Sasha, what do you think about that? How do you feel? Because I think it's very puzzling for some Americans. I think it's puzzling for some Americans to say, on the one hand, why are people defensive? These are the very things that dissidents like yourself have been protesting about and trying to call attention to for years. And now that people are paying attention to it, people are mad.
Well, you see, from my point of view, the confusion outside China have largely the Chinese government's fault. The reason of that is because the Chinese government always claim it represents everybody, represent entire China. Everyone has a dissent voice. You know, the title dissident is strange. Well, any society have different opinions, but if you are different from them, you are dissident. So what kind of title is that? But when you claim you represent everyone, you got all the blame, and somehow, you know, you got every Chinese in your bandwagon.
I see what you're saying. Well, so at the end of the day, just as in our last couple of minutes that we have left, do you feel that having the Olympics in China has been a good opportunity to talk about the kinds of things that most concern you? I know you said that it's bringing up bad feelings for you because it's bad memories of kind of state power being marshaled and individuals being kind of run roughshod over, and that has been not something that you've liked. But at the end of the day, do you feel it's been a good opportunity to talk about the things that concern you or not?
Well, I would say outside of China, yes, the world's eyes are on China. We have more opportunity to talk about it, to talk about China like I'm here. But on the other hand, inside China, you certainly feel more government scrutiny because Olympics is coming and anything people do, any protest people have, it will be criticized as unpatriotic. So you certainly see a sort of a tightening control situation in China.
Helen, what about you? Final thought from you?
Well, from the viewpoint of being a Chinese American who did not grow up in China, it's almost the mirror image of what Sasha's talking about, being a Chinese in China, that when China and the U.S. are having tension, the shoe drops on Chinese in America. So there's more beatings of kids at school. If Chinese are seen as weaklings and China's the enemy, there's more people accused of being spies or things like that. I mean, this goes on a routine daily basis for Chinese. And we also know that we get confused with being Korean or Vietnamese or Japanese or Filipino all the time. So we also know that most Americans really don't know China that well because they certainly don't know Chinese in America. So the Olympics, for us, it's a source of possibilities that this is a chance for America to get to know China better, also for China to put forth an image of strong Chinese people, which means that maybe the Chinese-American kids won't get beaten up as much. But at the same time, it's like being prepared to flinch if it goes badly. There's definitely a feeling that that could have bad impact on Chinese in America.
So are you going to watch the games, Helen?
Oh, absolutely.
Sasha, are you going to watch?
I'm going to watch some, and I'm interested in it from a sociological point of view. I'm not a big sports fan, I have to confess.
I'll invite you over to watch the basketball game. How about
that? Okay.
Sasha Gong is a writer and a human rights activist. She immigrated to the U.S. from China more than 2 decades ago, and she was kind enough to join us in our studios in Washington. Helen Zia is a journalist and the author of Asian American Dreams, The Emergence of an American People, among many other works. She joined us from her home in Oakland, California. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.